Bless God. I got to find out if we're, are we recording? We are. Well, let's keep going, okay? Have you ever wondered, here's the big question of the night. Have you ever wondered how or why God would want to hang out with us? I mean, what could he possibly get having a relationship with people? You ever wondered about that? What's he doing with us? I mean, is that stimulating to him? What's going on there? Some of you went to college, and there's a lot of professors that had a lot of degrees, and they knew a lot of stuff. Can you imagine a professor with about three PhDs sitting down with somebody to have a conversation with them? They say, what are you reading? And they go, C-spot, run, spot, run. I got it. Run, spot, run. Stimulating conversation, right? This guy with the PhDs sitting down by somebody that's learning run, spot, run. And you're thinking, God, how can you be even interested in having a conversation with us? How dumb must we appear in the scheme of things between his intellect and our intellect? And it's not your looks, because he gave you your looks. He made you. On your best day, you will not impress God with how much you know. There will never come a time that you get done talking to God and he goes, whoa, wow. Never happen. He gave you your intellect. Well, then what could it possibly be that God could be interested in having a relationship with me? A couple of things. You want to know that secret? There's at least three. Number one, God wants a relationship with me because I can give him love. Love. He's not after my good looks and my intelligence or any my opinion on the world. I can give him love. Number two, someone to believe him. You know how precious it is to God for someone to love him and someone to believe him? No wonder the big deal is about faith. Someone to believe God. How precious that is to him. Because we'll never match him in having a conversation with him. He already knows what you're going to say before you say it, so it couldn't be that. Did you know that we were designed, created to be able to interact with him? God is a person. And a lot of people think, well, you're bringing God down when you call him a person. You have no idea that person status elevates us to be like God. Because God's a person. He was a person before we were persons. He had intellect. He had will. He had emotion. He had form. And in his image, he made us. Third thing, anybody here ever been to the zoo? Okay, now, if you know exactly how many times you've been to the zoo, raise your hand. You don't know, do you? Because you've been there a bunch of times, right? Now, if you're, let's say, a parent or a grandparent, and you've been to the zoo, that's been your experience, why would you take the little kids with you to the zoo? You've seen an elephant. You've seen a zebra. You've seen a giraffe. You've seen all that. So why would you take the kid? Because, because you're not watching as much the elephant and the giraffe as you're watching the kid react to the newness of this experience. Now do you get why God wants to show himself strong and reveal himself in so many ways? He's watching us kids experience the spiritual elephant in the room for the first time see something that we didn't see before and go, wow. Because the first million years of heaven will probably, that'll probably be a key word, whatever we do. So there's three reasons why God would even want to have a relationship with us. We can love him. And when someone believes him, his heart is just so sensitive and open. And the third thing is, he wants us to have these experiences. Now, he already knows what the experiences is, but an infinite, unlimited God in his creative ability could make how many new experiences for us? Eternal. It'll never end. There is no end to God. There is no point where you go, okay, I got it. I've got him now. I've got God figured out. I've understand what all there is and all. We'll never reach that point. We'll be forever the kid where God will reveal himself in another aspect. So we've got something that he desires. If we think, well, I don't know, what could I possibly do that God would want to hang around me? Well, first of all, he thought you're so valuable that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross just to, so that he could be in the same proximity to you. But he can receive love, and he wants someone to believe him. There's a lot of Christians and a lot of churches that they've got this idea about God and Jesus Christ being the Son of God and they rose from the dead and such. But they don't believe him. They don't believe he's going to take care of them. They don't believe he's going to heal their body. They don't believe that he's going to protect them or pay their bills. He just wants somebody to believe him. How precious that is when you say, God, I believe you. I believe you. How wonderful. In the book of 2 Timothy 1:12, I think that's it, 2 Timothy 1:12 in your Bibles, here's an interesting verse. It says, I know whom I have believed. I know whom, or I always say who, but well, who's the whom they're talking about there? Talking about God, right? Talking about Christ. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to take that which I've committed unto him against that day, against the day where he resolves everything, holding everything precious and intact. I know whom I have believed. See, so many Christians fail in the area because they think if they know enough stuff, if they know the what's, it'll work out. But it doesn't work out, and they think, I don't know. I thought I had the formula down. I thought I had it right. I thought I understood how it went. And they're not getting their prayers answered, and they start backpedaling, wondered, well, what's going on here? I got all the what's. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Do you remember the Pharisees? They were the word people of the day. They had the Bible memorized. They were the word people. They could quote it inside and out. They could, this whole church couldn't match them for what they knew. And Jesus Christ stood right in front of them. Right in front of them. He said, you search the scriptures. And yet they speak of me. Here, Jesus himself, in person, God in person, is standing in front of them. These guys have the Bible memorized, and they don't even see God in front of them. They knew the what. They knew the words. They had it memorized. But God himself is there, and they don't even see him. He said, these scriptures are the things that speak of me. They're talking about me. They were so proud of what they knew that they didn't know God. I know whom I have believed. I know, or we could say, I know him whom I believe in. I know him. I know him. And am persuaded that he is able. I am convinced with no doubt that he's able to do what? To keep what? To keep his promises, to keep his word, to keep any part of our reward, to keep it all, to preserve it. He's able to do it. Time for my ad. Healing is part of the Word of God, right? A lot of people know a lot about healing, and they're not getting the results. And you scratch your head and you go, why? I know about every verse there is to healing. But here's the tricky part. Do they know the healer? Because we can learn a lot of verses about healing. You think, okay, I got this verse, and I'll add it to this verse, and I'll add it to this verse. But they don't know the healer. They know all the verses about prosperity, but they don't know the provider. They don't know him. They're not quite sure. What are they supposed to know? Him. Jesus himself in John 17, the Gospel of John 17, he's praying to God, and he said, and this is life, and life eternal, that they, talking about us, might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Anybody here personally ever met Abraham Lincoln? Personally? You're looking around, who's got the most gray hair in there? No, I don't think anybody's ever met. Do you believe he existed? We have experts that study the Civil War and study Abraham Lincoln. Do you think the experts that we have alive today ever met him? Do any of them know him? No, they know a lot about him. Lots of information. They can quote you every fact. They can quote you the little footnotes. But nobody really knows him because they didn't have a chance to be with him and live with him. That's how a lot of people are with the Bible. They know a whole lot about Jesus and God, but they really don't have the revelation of the concept that God wants to live with us now. Because it isn't like Abraham Lincoln, we have to go and pull out the books to see their history, because people will often pull the Bible out like it's a history book. I got to go back 2,000 years and see who Jesus Christ was. And then what are you going to find out after that? What are you going to find out after that? Well, I know all about him. Do you ever wonder about these dating sites where they had, they answered 300 questions. They're my soulmate, my perfect match. And you go, you haven't lived with them. Right? I hope it works out for you. And some people it does, but all you did was answer the questions and they answered the questions. Until you live with them, you don't know them. Well, there's so many Christians that know about God and love that idea. They accepted Christ. They're going to heaven if they died tonight. But they don't know him. How do I know they don't know him? Because they're not getting the results. They're not getting the results. You know, people that know God really good get a lot of results and have a lot of faith. Even though a supply of faith has been put inside of us, we don't even tap into it. How about people that don't know him very good? Usually not very many results. And we go into scramble mode. Somebody may know him as a protector, but not as a provider, or as a provider, but not as a healer. Some of them, I mean, they just nail it, and they know him as Savior, but they don't get all the fringe benefits of being a God child in this earth because they don't know him. And that's what we're purposing to do with this revival, and I believe it's the final one before Jesus Christ comes back, and I believe it's going to be a number of years. The whole point is the presence of God, not the idea that, oh, God is all around us. He's even on around Pluto and the planet and the galaxies. We want the manifest presence. We want God himself operating in our lives. I remember growing up in a Baptist church, and I love the Baptists. They taught me about God and everything like that. But they're always talking about God in the church that I grew up in. And some guys could pray really good. The these and the thous. I don't even know what a beseech is, but we beseeched a lot back then. But so we had them pray. And I remember one day standing in the back of the church, and somebody made this comment, God told me, and they freaked out. Backing off like you're some kind of demon, because all you said was, I heard from God, or God told me. You think, why would that shake them to the core? Because nobody can know God, right? Nobody can know God. Is that a scripture? Is that? Because I've heard that. Nobody can know God. Yeah, what did Jesus Christ say? This is the life and life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, me whom you sent. That's the deal. Not only know him, but to love him, and I do. Yeah. To know him is to love him. What is that, 1962? Who knows? Knowing God is knowing love. Wait, let's back up a second there. That was too much. Knowing God is knowing love. Knowing love. Anybody here know what it's like to be in love or have love or receive love? Knowing God is knowing love. Because God is love, right? How are you ever going to know what love is? No wonder people go around trying to define, who am I? What am I? They don't know that they're loved by God. They were made by God. Knowing God is knowing healing. Knowing God is knowing how to be prosperous. And I'm not talking about wealth beyond measure to where you spend it all on you. I'm talking about having enough to do what God told you to do, and excess so you can bless people around you. Knowing God is knowing protection, knowing that it's going to be okay. But we got to know God. You remember those seven sons of Sceva? Weren't they fun? Remember them? There was these guys, and they were trying to figure out the formula. They thought that Jesus and his disciples, they cast out demons, and Paul. And so they tried to figure it out. They go, okay, we want to do this. So they got together, and they're trying to figure out, well, how do we do it? They said, well, it's like, how do they do it? Well, it's in Jesus' name, come out of him. Let's practice. And one of them said, oh, no, he said, shut up and come out of it. Okay, let's practice that. So they're getting together and they're practicing in Jesus, shut up and in Jesus' name come out. Shut up and we got it down. We got the formula. We got it figured out. And then they went and found a demon-possessed guy. And they tried it. And he tried them. Beat those guys up. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? In the spirit realm, they weren't even known. They were trying to do stuff. They didn't know God. If they'd have known God, they'd have been known in the spirit realm. They tried a formula. Let's see. How do I get healed? I think you're supposed to say, by Jesus' stripes. That's it. Because I heard them say, by Jesus' stripes, so say that. Why don't you say it 100 times? Come on, seven. 100 times I'll say it, and I'll see if it works. You're going to get a sore arm doing that, because you're down to formula, because you don't know him. You don't know him as the healer, but you could. How? How short? How long does it take? What do I have to say? What kind of prayer should I make? Who should I call? What hotline? Should I get a dozen people from the church? No, God's looking for somebody to love him and believe him. He'll listen to you. If nobody else is around, you're going, where's my prayer partners? The answer is, well, how about you and Jesus being a prayer partner? If you're going to pick a prayer partner, why not pick him and say, you and me, Jesus, we'll be prayer partners because he also prays. Do you have confidence in his prayers? Yep. How about when you sin and mess up? 1 John 1:9, you know, talks about sin and messing up. What does it say? We've got one who goes before the judge, the Father. A counselor is the word. A lawyer on our behalf. Calls Jesus a lawyer. And it says he's our lawyer. And the judge happens to be his Father. Have you ever gone into court with your lawyer and your lawyer said to the judge, Hi, Dad. Oh, who are you representing today, son? And you're sitting there watching this going, my lawyer and the judge are father and son. And inside you're going, yes. And outside you're going, oh. Prayer partners with Jesus Christ. Well, if you're going to be a prayer partner with him, you ought to know what he's thinking and doing, right? Oh, in our prayer life, I am convinced half of our prayer life needs to be listening for God to speak to us. Well, what does God sound like on the inside of you? Because he'll speak to your spirit to spirit. And you have a soul, and your soul is where your thoughts are. So when God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to your born-again human spirit, and your born-again human spirit speaks to this thing, this mind, this intellect, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like you. Why? Because it's you. Yeah, but how do I know that's God's voice? If he could just change his voice a little bit, you're not going to be wanting to hear voices in your head. We've got little pills that make them go away. You're going to need to know by the inspiration of God. There's an inward knowing that you don't know how it got there, but it's there. Well, explain how that works. I don't know. It wasn't there a second ago. Now I know what to do. Now I know what's going on. What do you think revelation comes from? It's not there, then it's there. Well, it might be me making it up. Really? Check your heart. What does your heart say? Sometimes I've wondered if I've made stuff up in my head. You know what I do? I stop and I ask God, did I just make that up? Because I'm probably creative and clever enough to make stuff up. And I check my heart and ask the Holy Spirit, did I just conjure that up in my head? Or is that you? And you know what happens on the inside? Without any words, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and tells me whether it was me or him. Well, how do you know? I don't know how I know. All I know is that I know the difference between my own head, and I ask the Holy Spirit to split the difference. The Word of God will help sometimes. It says it'll divide even the soul and the spirit. Well, whose soul and spirit? Mine! Between my head and my heart, my soul and my spirit, the Word of God will hold me safe and steady. If I get outside the Word of God, then I don't know where I'm going. I can't have faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known, and the will of God is the Word of God. You cannot have faith unless you know what the will of God is. But then, as soon as you know what it is, you have to know the who. It's who you know. Life without God is not worth living, and a lot of people know a lot about God, and their life is struggling as a Christian. How frustrating for them to know that they're saved and going to heaven, but the other stuff isn't working. They need to know Him more. God's hanging around you because you can love Him and you'll believe Him. And I trust that you do love Him, but let's kick it up a notch in the believe category. He wants to show you things to come. He wants to have nothing take you by surprise, but take you into the future because he's got a future for you that he planned. My faith in whom? To know God is life itself. I guarantee you that if you're hearing my words tonight with a sincere heart, you're going to know God better by the end of this service. Now, here's the deal. What if some guy meets this really cute girl and thinks, you know what, she's everything. I've just grown to just enjoy her company and everything like that. And after a while, he starts going, you know, I've got some real strong feelings for her. Starts writing her love letters. About once a week, she gets another love letter from this guy, and she's thinking, well, this is way cool. You know, I kind of like the guy, and oh, what a beautiful love letter. He writes so well. It's really nice. And you get another love letter, and they're piling up. And then one night, the doorbell rings. She opens the door, and it's him. And he says, you want to go out? And she says, I'm just going to stay home tonight and read your love letters. That's okay. But thanks for stopping by. It's just, I've got them memorized already, by the way. You know, they're so great. I love them. I'll just read them over and over again. And thank you for stopping. Appreciate that. But I got all the love letters memorized. They're wonderful. I love them. Bye. We think that's kind of crazy. Yeah, that's how a lot of Christians approach the Bible. It's kind of like, I got all these verses memorized and stuff like this. This is God's love letter to me. And Jesus is trying to have a conversation with you going, not now, not now. I got to get some more scripture. And Jesus is trying to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. No, I know. I'll get back to you. I'm kind of busy right now. Some people worship the Bible. It's dried ink on paper. This is paper. This is dried ink. And almost sounds blasphemous, doesn't it, when I say that? It reveals the person, but the person isn't paper. And I love this Bible. It's a thing. And it helps us know God because the Holy Spirit of God will take this and help reveal God to us so we can trust Him more. But they'll worship the Bible to the point where they'll know the Bible inside out like the Pharisees, but they have no working relationship or intimate relationship or fun relationship with God Himself. They're having a life that's horrible. They're not enjoying their life. And you've got God in partnership with God on your side, and it's not enjoyable. That's a problem. Why would that be? Because they don't know Him. One day, they're trying to figure out who God is. And so they say, well, what shall we tell Him your name is? Well, every single name of God describes an attribute about Himself. God didn't just say, oh, call me Joe or Bob or something like that. Every time He described Himself, He said, my name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you. Jehovah Shalom, I'm the God of peace. Nisi, the God of the banner. Sidkenu, righteousness. Every time He came out with another thing, they go, oh, he's that too. So they wanted the big name. Yeah, but what's your big name? Who are you? What kind of God are you? Because they're gods. They carved them and molded them and, you know, made gods and dusted them off, you know, every day and packed them up when they left. And He said, tell them my name is I Am. Yeah. And we're waiting for a big long sentence. And He gives them two words. Am what? Am who? Am everything you'll ever hope to have in a relationship. Am all love. Am everything that will define and identify the value of your life itself. How can you get it shorter than that? Technically, it means I am the one that causes myself to exist. Yeah, my brain hurts on that one. You cannot have faith in God beyond how much you know Him. knowing about God has not really carried a lot of Christians very far, but knowing God has. Have you ever gone to an event and maybe an important person was at that event and you got into the event somehow, some way, and the person that's the important person at the event goes, "Hey, hi, hey, I want you to meet some people." And you go, and they call you up. And they're going, "Who's that? Who's that? Who's that?" We had a couple on the Woodmeyers left our church about maybe 25 years ago and went to Bible school. We've had, I don't know, 26, 27 people leave our church to go to Bible school over the years, and they were one of the first ones. And they eventually wound up in Branson, and they have a double stretch limo service. And they, down in Branson, they drive billionaires around and get a chance to even interact with them and famous Hollywood stars and sports heroes and stuff. They've got the biggest a double stretch limo thing. They have a half a dozen stretch limos all over town, and they get to drive everybody around. So when we visit them, they always put us in a stretch limo. And we're pulling up, every year they do this. We'll drive around town in the stretch limo. We'll go to a restaurant out to eat. And to us, we'll go, "Oh, yeah, park it over there and we'll go in the restaurant." They go, "No, we're going to drop you the front door." "Oh, no, no, we'll go with you. We'll park it." "Oh, no, no, no." They said, "We want people to wonder who you are." And so we'll get out of the stretch limo and go inside. And people are going, "Are they anybody?" You know? Just having fun with that, you know? But who you know when somebody calls you forward, isn't it? What if you walked up to that important person and said, so-and-so would like to talk to you. Do you know them?" "Know them? Yeah, I know them. Like them. They're a great person. Yeah, call them up here." What if you know God personally? Personally. That freaks a lot of people out because they think nobody can know God. Like, God's God and you're not. You're made out of the same stuff He is. He's spirit, and so are you. He made you out of Himself. He made you out of the stuff that He's made out of and gave you a will so you could love Him, gave you a will so you could believe Him, and that's why He hangs out with you, because you've got something that He wants. Did you know that we think that God never had a problem? But the Bible tells us that there was a problem that God had. And you think, well, God can do anything. He can solve any problem there is. He did solve it eventually. Did you know what the problem God had was? It says that He had the heart of a father. Well, now that's a problem. What could possibly satisfy a person if they have the heart of a father? Kids, right? We are God's answer to the problem of the father's heart. A father's heart without children leaves it lacking, right? We are God's resolution. And so He made us so that we can give and receive love, not only with Him, but with each other. But with each other. And He can watch His kids also exchange love with each other. How brilliant is that? To where He didn't make billions of us, and He just had a one-way relationship with each one of us, and we had no relationship with each other at all. We're just a one-shot deal, one of a kind, me connected to God. And here's all these other people. They got their own connection, like a pincushion or a porcupine, and nobody's connected. But He connected all of us together and wants us to express our love to each other too. He wants us to get to know each other. This is my closing illustration tonight. John chapter 4, I don't know, maybe 39 around there. The woman at the well. You remember the woman at the well? Everybody goes grocery shopping and Jesus is hanging out. And this woman comes in the middle of the day because her reputation is kind of shot. And she's sneaking out there where nobody comes. And here Jesus is, and He's not supposed to be talking to women because that's their custom of the day. He asks her for a drink of water. And she's going like, whoa. And she starts teasing him and mocking him like, you're asking me? And they go through a whole series of different exchanges with each other as she tests him and he tests her, responding back and forth. Eventually, they get to the point where he reveals her life. And she goes back to town and tells the people, could this be the Christ? He told me everything about me. Well, this got their interest up. Pretty soon, the disciples show back up. And they're talking to Jesus. And they're trying to figure out, what was he doing with this woman? Now she takes off. And they're trying to resolve the issue. And Jesus starts talking to them about harvest and white fields and lift up your eyes. What happened when they lifted up their eyes? They saw a whole mass of people coming at them. He said, lift up your eyes. The harvest is ripe. And what they saw was people approaching. And they showed up. And she told them that this might be the Christ. Then he, later on, the people said this. They said, now we believe, not because of what she said, but we have heard him for ourselves. They came to that conclusion. They said, it's not what she said anymore. We know him now. He stayed there for a while. They said, we know him now. Now we what? Believe. Now we believe. What does God want? He wants us to love him and wants us to believe him. That's one thing that you have that no one else has. You can love him and you believe him. What does that do to his heart? It touches it. There's a verse, I got to touch on this real quick. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 8, it's talking about love puffeth up. You know what I mean? Your intellect. A lot of people intellectually try to find God with their brain, and it's not satisfying. That puffs up, but love builds up. Love builds up, but knowledge puffs up, and a lot of people are puffed up. Have you ever gotten a cotton candy thing and it started to rain, and then you realize there were just not much there, was it? As you watch it, or a humid day and you just watch it kind of collapse in on itself. Well, knowledge will just be that cotton candy Christian. They dissolve in on themselves, or the Holy Spirit of God is being poured out on them, and there's just nothing to show for it. But love builds up, and it says, if anyone thinks he knows something, he knows nothing. Isn't that encouragement? As he ought to know. But if you know God, you are loved. That's a basic what the verse says. If you know God, you're loved. And what are people looking for? Why are people trying all different lifestyles and different kinds of attention gathering and getting things? Some of them, you think, why are they dressing that way? Why do they look that way? Remember the old days when they started doing the face piercings and the 12-inch spiked multicolor hair and the face piercings and the tattoos and everything? And they walk into Walmart and they're going, what are you looking at? Why do they look that way? So that nobody notices them? No! Everything about him is screaming, somebody notice me. They walk in like, hey, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. But the whole point is, somebody please notice that I exist. Somebody notice that I exist. Please. Somebody notice that I exist. Why do they do all the stuff that gets all the attention? They're afraid that nobody's going to notice. And they may not be worth anything. And yet here the whole time, God noticed and noticed and noticed and noticed. And he wants to have this relationship with us. Relationship. Relationship. In my Baptist church, they said, you know, we went to church, and I started with this evangelical church, and they said, you need to be a Christian 7 days a week. I said, that's crazy. That's nuts. Nobody can be a Christian 7 days a week. You go to church on Sunday morning, and then you do what you want for the rest of the time. And they said, no, you need to live for God 7 days a week. I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Who ever heard of living for God every day? Didn't make sense to me. I thought, oh, what's wrong with you people? They were talking about a relationship. They weren't talking about rite and ritual or religion. They were talking about a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship with God, now everybody in here, I know your faces and I know you, and I believe that, you know, as far as I can tell, everybody here is going to heaven, because I think I know you well enough in this room. But you might think your relationship with God is how strong is that? How intimate is that? Because that's what we're working on. The presence of God. What? So we can know Him. That's what Jesus said, that they would know you. How can a person know God? The whole deal was about us knowing God. The whole deal. Know Him more. Know Him more. Know Him more. Love Him more. Believe Him more. Know Him more. Love Him more. Believe Him more. Let Him reveal all the wonders that He has and is of life itself and your gifts and callings. What a sweet deal that we, remember the Bible verses said, you've forgotten that you're kids of God. Have you forgotten that you're children of God, it said? You guys forgot something. You're in the family. Well, anybody been in a family that was dysfunctional? If you grew up in a dysfunctional family, what was dysfunctional about it? The relationships, the communications, yeah, nuts and crazy growing up in a family like that if it was dysfunctional, right? Does God want a dysfunctional Christian family? No, He wants us working together. He wants us loving one another and loving Him. We should be the most functional family on planet Earth. That's why so many people came out of dysfunctional families and found another family. And they go, oh, great, there's people in that one. Yeah, there is. And we love them. And we love them. And God loves them. And we love God. And we believe God. Did you know that you're called believers? Did anybody, I mean, this is, I'm not being... How can I say this? Does everyone here understand the concept of what a believer is? What do believers do? What do runners do? What do swimmers do? What do believers do? Okay, so this is your job assignment for tomorrow morning. Wake up and believe something. If you're a believer, how many believers that we have that they wake up every day and they don't believe anything? They spend the day not believing God. They believe the circumstances and situations and conditions around them, and they're calling themselves believers, and their job as a believer is to wake up in the morning and believe something. Believe something. And it touches the heart of God, doesn't it? Because that's why He wants to hang around us and have us in His presence, in His company, because we can love Him and we can believe Him. And that's what we got going for us and why God wants to be with us. Hallelujah. What a sweet deal. Father, I know You heard my words, every one of them. You saw them before the world began. And Holy Spirit, I thank You for the inspiration tonight. This much I know. I love You. I believe You. And I believe that the people here that heard my words desire to do the same. Help them in the revelation understanding of who You are. More revelation, God. Every time we open the Word of God, show us You. Talk to us about it. Show us the inside and outsides of everything we're doing. We want to know You more. Hallelujah. I absolutely believe that my prayer request tonight before you is being answered right now. With open hearts, we yield ourselves to your revelation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I want you to know God so well that the day you walk into heaven, whether it's by rapture of Jesus Christ at the return of Christ, or whether you die before that, that when you walk in heaven, it is not a shock to your system that you'll walk in there and you know God so well that it's just the transition is so smooth. I don't want anybody here walking in heaven going, what do I do? What do I do? You know? Well, great, this is heaven. What are the rules? The answer is, you know God, it should transition pretty smooth. You're going to go, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't this fun? Isn't this fun? Praise God. Amen. Well, that's it for tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you all for coming. Be blessed abundantly. We love you. Oh, Holy Spirit told me to do something and I forgot. He said, have them say this after me. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.